I'm Howard, number two, because you can see Howard number one standing there. So also please allow me to pass the greetings from Mandarin congregation. This morning I will share with you a story about two parties in the communication and not on the same page. I pray hard to God, don't let myself be the example of what I'm going to say today. That is, I'm on my own page. I just, you know, keep talking and talking, but you guys on the other page, because you could not follow me because my strange accent. You know, because the English is my fourth language. It ranks after Shanghainese, Mandarin, and Cantonese. So I could not help speaking English with this, you know, mysterious mixed flavor of those spoken Chinese, especially when I am excited and nervous, just like right now. In this June, after completing my thesis, my wife Nelly and I went to Japan for a short break. Japan is a beautiful country, and we wish we could stay longer. But one thing we found there very interesting is local people usually assumed that we understood Japanese. So even we could be recognized easily as tourists. So they were so polite, and they tried their best to be helpful. So every time when we ask for directions or something else in English, they were happy to help us. The only problem is they always replied us in Japanese. So Nelly and I are trying to be polite as well, so we didn't interrupt them. We just listened and smiling. But after they explained for 1 or 2 or even 5 minutes in many syllables, which means nothing to us at all, we have to reply them, "Sorry, we don't understand Japanese." And they looked at us, puzzled. This is maybe a special case of the not on the same page. A listener heard what the speaker had said, but could not get it all. But I believe this is not the unique case in our daily life. In all kinds of communications, we can find many similar cases. When A is talking about one thing, the other is thinking about another thing. The question is, does this also happen between us and our God? God is talking about one thing, and we are occupied by another thing, or we misunderstand it as another. Are we always on the same page with our God? I'm sure you have your answer there already. Let's pray. Lord, my rock and my redeemer, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit be with us right here, right now. May your words touch us, remind us, and encourage us, and change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the early stage of Jesus' mission documented by Mark, I was using Mark today, from verse 21, chapter 1, to verse 12, chapter 2, could be named as a miracle section. This section reports four miracle stories, one after another. You see, in verse 21 to 28, Jesus drove out an impure spirit in the synagogue of Capernaum. In verse 29 to 34, Jesus healed Simon, Peter's mother-in-law, healed many and cast off many demons. And in verse 40 to 45, Jesus healed a leper. And in verse 1 to 12, chapter 2, Jesus healed a paralyzed man back to Capernaum. What an impressive section. Miracles, one after another. But just in this very section, right in the middle of the narrative of miracles, there exists a different voice. Our today's scripture, I will use verse 35 to 39, chapter 1, tell us a completely different story. In the early morning, when Jesus went to a desolating place to pray, and when his disciples came to tell him that everyone is looking for you, Jesus said, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." It's very interesting, is it? Have you smelled something unusual from what Jesus replied to his disciples? Why did Jesus say this? When his disciples asked him to go back to the people, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else." So two directions here. One is to Capernaum, to the crowd waiting for him. The other is to the nearby villages to preach. The crowd in Capernaum was waiting for Jesus for miracles. We can know this from the verse 21 to 34 of chapter 1. There are two acts here. In act 1, in the synagogue of Capernaum, Jesus did two things. He taught, and he drove out an impure spirit. The two things both amazed people, and that people thought see the authority Jesus had. Verse 22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teacher of the law. Verse 27, the people were so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." But what happened next? Eventually, what made Jesus be noticed and be desired was not his teaching, but his ability of healing and driving out demons. But in the following act, in verse 29 to 34, the scripture says, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. In verse 32 and verse 33, the whole town gathered at the door, not because of Jesus' teaching, but his healing and casting out demons. It's more or less like people come to here to see Reverend Diana, not because she's a good messenger of God, but because she's the mother of Lydia. You know, Lydia is one of the best goalkeepers of our Matildas, you know, Australian national female soccer team. I myself could be one of them. Last time when Lydia came here to see Diana, I shook hands with her. Imagine how excited a soccer fan could be to shake hands with the national team of goalkeeper of the national soccer team. So at that moment, I forgot where Diana is. even when she's standing beside Lydia, I forgot where she is. I'm sorry. So Jesus and the people around Jesus were not on the same page. This is the reason why Jesus emphasized in verse 38, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus cared about preaching, as he put it here very clearly. But the people around him was chasing after another thing, healing and driving out demons. Since Jesus mentioned the preaching as that is why I have come, I will refer to other thing, the miracles of such as healing and casting out demons as this. So that and this, two different pages. If we could imagine the four stories about healing and driving out demons as a big black job, backdrop, then the statement made by Jesus in verse 38 is just like a beam of light came suddenly out of the darkness. No, Mike, no. Don't look at this miracles. Those are not my focus. Maybe Jesus would say so. What Jesus cares most was his mission, which was not heal the ear or drive out demons, but to teach. That is, to feed people their daily bread, to let people know, to believe and to practice God's truth. So may we want to ask, were the Jews in 2,000 years ago the only people who were not on the same page with our Lord? When we listen to him, do we more or less have the same problem? When Jesus is talking about one thing, we are on something else. So we listen intently, but do not understand. Look carefully, but do not comprehend. Put our today's passages and those four miracles before and after it together. We can see at least three possible reasons why we are not on the same page with our Lord. The first reason could be we are so occupied by our own thoughts or emotions that any voice outside has no way coming into our hearts. The leper in verse 40 to 45 was a good example. Before Jesus healed him, he had been so suffered that what he had wanted was being relieved from his illness. And after being healed, his heart might have been so filled with joy as to leave no space to Jesus' word at all. So when Jesus told him, "Don't tell this to anyone," he played deaf. And instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news, according to verse 45. This cure, the leper, was not meant to play against Jesus. Instead, what he has done was to express his gratitude. What he has done was he must do in his culture in that day. That is, when someone helped you, but you could not do anything to pay him back, you should do your best to let other people know his good name. In other words, to glorify his name. So in common knowledge, there's no problem at all. However, in this passage, in this situation, this is not a right or proper reaction to the Lord, because it tends to be an obstacle to Jesus' mission, that is, to preach. Thanks to this man's advertisement, Jesus had to change his strategy. Verse 45. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. This could be a good reminder to many of us. Are we too wrapped up in ourselves to hear our Lord? Subjectively, we could be too egocentric, only interested in ourselves or a few who are close to us. But sometimes there are some, you know, objective reasons, like today's story. Something is too big, too overwhelming, like being healed from long-suffering, long-torturing illness, or too many things happened at the same time in our life. Troubles at work, 5 of 6 your kids having the flu, and now wife telling you she's pregnant again. After handling with these daily issues, we got no energy for other things, even God's word. We are occupied by our struggles in the life. This is human. This is the life, and our Lord understands all. Just like in verse 41, Jesus was filled with compassion. He is willing to help us. The problem is, when we have received his help, his word still could not come into our heart. We are still the same one after he helped us. How we think, what we value, how we do with the word remain the same as if we didn't heard the word at all. Even the way we thank the Lord is not what he wants. Our Lord is just as you know any other passerby in our life. So you might say, "Hey Lord, you can help me, but please do not change me." Are we saying this to Lord? So if we still let our own thoughts, old value, or old ways to control our life, what God has done for us has gone in vain. If we truly want to thank our Lord, we need to listen to him carefully for what we should do, even if it contradicts our usual ways. Even we could not understand it for the time being. So my dear brothers and sisters, of course we should give thanks to our Lord in every circumstance, but more importantly, after receiving his all kinds of blessings, listen to him. The second reason why we could be on a page different from God's is we might have something misunderstanding on the relation between preaching and the miracles. So when we try to understand God's purpose, we actually have missed the point. Miracles, those miracles are the tool or the means Jesus used to deliver his good news, not the good news itself. Sometimes our Lord Jesus do use miracles to attract the audience, but the miracle have never been his focus. Even some of Jesus' disciples could not understand the priority. So when Jesus went off to a desolating place, they found him and exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." If they understood the preaching and the miracles are two different things, Jesus would not have to tell them, "Let us go somewhere else so I can preach there also." The disciples were faithful to Jesus. Their minds were not occupied by their own stuffs. They were more than happy to hear the teachings of their master. But as they were also the witness of Jesus' miracles, which are maybe too dazzling, too breathtaking for them, they might be drawn to this miracle too much and miss Jesus' real purpose, unfortunately. This has happened to Simon Peter and his peers. And maybe it's not surprising that also happening to us sometime. We tend to be more impressed by objects that was presented in a more dramatic or vivid way. For example, most of us will find it's easier to remember a new word if we could link the word with a picture. So it's not surprising that we have been impressed with miracle much more than God's word, just as Jesus' disciples did, because miracles are, of course, much more dramatic than the preaching. But at the same time, we need to ask ourselves, or be asked all the time, in our Lord's opinion, is this more dramatic, more important? Do we really understand God's is here for that, to preach and teach. Lord is merciful, so he did miracles. But if we think those miracles are the main purpose of God's mission, we are in the danger of missing what God really wants us to see and to hear, himself and his word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, not on miracles, but on God's every word. To believe God is to believe his word, to understand and to practice his every word. Some of my relatives in China claim that they are Buddhists, so they go to the temples to ask for peace, health, or money, but they never read any, you know, Buddhist scriptures. This is not the way our Lord wants us Christians to follow him. Coming to the church without focusing on his word. We all know that sleeping in a garage does not make you a car, right? So just sitting in a church does not make us a real Christian. John verse 1, chapter 1, the Word was God. Verse 14, chapter 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus himself is the Word. So dear brothers and sisters, focus. Read and listen carefully. Between God's word and his miracles such as healing and driving out demons, we must be able to tell which one is his focal point. No matter how those miracles are breathtaking, we always focus our attention on Jesus and his teaching, shall we? So let's look at the third possible reason why we and Jesus are not on the same page. As humans, we have limitations in here or here. Sometimes our heart cannot open wider to understand God's word, so we feel unable to accept what we have heard. Just as those teachers of the law in verse 40 to 45, in verse 1 to 12 of chapter 2. When Jesus was in someone's home in Capernaum, they were sitting there too. They listened to Jesus and watched Jesus cure the paralyzed man and forgive his sins. But they didn't accept the truth. Just because this has beyond what they used to believe. It just did not make any sense to them. They didn't deny they were expecting the Messiah, but just could not believe the Messiah was the one right in front of them, who came from such a humble origin. Nevertheless, can anything good come from there? Not to mention the Nazarene's father was a penniless carpenter. We may say that they were snobbish or arrogant. They looked down upon Jesus. Their regional or social class discrimination has limited their understanding of the truth. In their understandings, the Messiah should have come in a gold carriage instead of being born in an old stable. The king of the Davids, or the root of David, must be born from a noble family instead of a poor couple in the countryside. They could not break through some stereotypes, so when someone out of their expectations came, They would rather refuse to believe the word they have heard and even started questioning the truth. Is it possible that we, Christians of today, fall in the same snare? When we listen to God, we can be like those teachers of the law, limited by our own narrow view. If God's word contradicts with our own understandings, we may just ignore them, or we choose to adjust or to revise them. We tailored God's word to comply with our knowledges and then accept that. In this so-called age of science, it's not easy to accept some unscientific facts. So we either choose to not to talk about it, say, born of a virgin, that's impossible, so let us keep silent about it. Or try to explain those facts with a so-called scientific theories. Say, resurrection? No, Jesus did not pass away. He's just woke up from coma. If only because God's word does not fit into our science, our logic, our rationalities, we will not accept them. Then, what is the difference between us and those teachers of the law? When we start listening to God's word, we should be ready to see there will be something beyond our understanding of this world. There will be something beyond our science, our logic, our rationalities. This is the reason why the God word could change us. So my dear brothers and sisters, never use our humble human minds to limit God's infinity. Never use our brain to confine God's mouth. What we hear or see, no matter it fits in our concepts, logics, rationalities or not, as long as they are from our God, we need to open our ears to listen. We need to open our minds to accept. So, brothers and sisters, are we on the same page with our Lord? This is my question of today. And maybe we should take it home and make it our question of every day. When Jesus is talking to us, are we listening to him? Do we get it right, what we have heard? Do we accept what we have gotten? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Dear brothers and sisters, we all know how important to obey God's teaching, and I believe no one here wants to be on a different page with our God. But the scripture we are reading today reminds us that could happen, even we've never meant it. It's very likely we choose, with or without intention, to go on a different page from our Lord. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, be watchful whether our own hearts have been occupied by our own ego. Don't be those who were helped by Jesus but ignored his word, like the cured leper. He thanks God, but do not let God change him. Be watchful whether what we thought we have heard is exactly what the God wants us to hear. Don't be those who could not tell what was more important, like Peter and his peers. They are eager to hear, but do not get the point. Be watchful whether our narrow minds have limited our understanding of the gospel. Don't be those too close-minded to believe the gospel just like those teachers in law. They believe God's good news, but only believe their own versions of good news. May God our Lord help us. May Lord help us to stay on the same page with Him all the time. Help us always know Jesus come here for that. And let us know Jesus never been here for our own this. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word to us. We know Jesus himself is the word. The word became flesh, dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We know the weight of your word in our life. We live on your every word, and we have the eternal life because of your every word. But we sometimes deaf, but claim we can hear. Blind, but claim we can see. We love ourselves most, but claim that we love you more. We claim that we long for your word, but never let your word enter our hearts. So, Lord, please forgive us, and please help us out of our own narrowness. Open our ears, and let us truly hear what you are saying to us. Open our hearts. Understand what we have heard, so we can get our daily bread and grow up in you day by day. We pray with one heart in Jesus' name. Amen.